We have a real celebration this morning also in the word of the Lord that's going to come. We have very special friends of ours who have come all the way out from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Oh, almost get that right. Cheyenne, Wyoming, from Harvest Time Christian Fellowship. And these are great, great people. They've been here at our conference a year ago, and many of you have seen them and met them before. Pastor Dan is on the International Board of the Fellowship Network, and they're just treasures in the body of Christ. And we are so grateful they're here with us. And what we're going to first of all do this morning is welcome Pastor Kelly Irish to come and bring you a greeting this morning. Pastor Kelly, let's receive her.
Hello, everyone. I am so honored and so blessed to be here. And I know I've seen a lot of new faces from like a year and a half ago. And it's such an honor that, you know, Kevin and Sherry would ask us to come back. And not only that, they opened their home to us. It's like a six-star hotel, restaurant, too, let me tell you. Everything's just there. They're just lovely people. You are so blessed to have these pastors. Aww. Let me just tell you, honestly, so blessed. But besides that, my husband and I, we are so honored to be here. I mean, you know, God is just so good. And not only will He open up the fellowship, you know, that's between us, you know, and then there's just going to be that good stuff going on, but also the Word. And exactly. I know my husband has this great word that's going to come forth, but it's not just that, because my husband and I, we really pray together and we believe that God has something for everyone.
Amen.
You know, and that we're believing for revival to come, and we're believing that God, that there's just going to be this huge move of God that's just going to come. And, you know, we're just praying for that, and we're just going to see miracles. And once again, we are so blessed and so thankful that you guys had us here. We're just so honored. Thank you.
Bless you. Thank you so much, Pastor Kelly. Well, we're looking forward to hearing the word of the Lord. How many remember the word Pastor Dan brought for just a few minutes before Pastor Steve Holder preached? How many remember that? Remember? About the fourth watch of the night? Remember? Yeah, several of you talked to me about that for quite some time, about when the Lord wakes you up and gives you a word. Well, God has spoken to our faithful brother with a word specific for this congregation. I'm excited to hear it, and we are honored to have them here with us. Pastor Dan Irish, will you come and bring the word of the Lord? Let's welcome him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Well, greetings from Cheyenne, Wyoming. I was going to bring my phone up here because right now, live streaming Harvest Time Christian Fellowship on Facebook is my son bringing the Word of God. And I'm so excited about that. I'm going to watch it when we get back later today. Praise the Lord. I'm so honored to be here. I want to thank pastors for having us. I think that's, if that falls off, it'll fall off. It'll be all right. I know that they're back there right now crossing their fingers, hoping this goes well. we have a church very similar to this one. And if I could package you all up in my suitcase and bring you back, you have a lot to teach our church when it comes to hearing the voice of God and speaking the voice of God and stirring of the gifts. Do not ever let the gifts go dormant in the church. Come every Sunday. Come every Sunday stirring up the gifts. And you will be a unique church, because there's churches all across the U.S. that didn't even know there was a gift of the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great things. Amen. I don't know, Pastor Kevin, when am I done? Okay. All right. Okay. I want to share because Facebook is an amazing thing, because it actually, I've been in touch with your congregation through Facebook and Pastor Kevin, and I've been watching and hearing the invitation to come and what you guys have been studying on, and it's talking about a faith that will be active in the 21st century right now, and I love to teach on faith. So we're going to do that a little bit this morning. Let me just encourage you one more thing, and it's really cool that you have tables set up in the worship area. You should, in worship, you should always have something to write on handy, because the Spirit speaks to us things in worship, and sometimes we get tickled about the things He speaks to us, but then we forget. Write it down. Write it down. You know, write down those things, because let me just tell you this: when God speaks to me, 99% of the time, it's not just for me. I'm a part of the body of Christ, and what He speaks to me will have an effect on you, and what He speaks to you will have an effect on me. So write those things down. And then when Pastor Kevin says, "Well, what did you hear today?" These are the things that we heard today. Can I just share a couple of them with you? And I'll probably mix them in my sermon here somewhere. But it's interesting that sometimes we sit at home and we pray for souls to get saved. I was hoping you'd all agree with me. Because it's wrong. Yeah. Jesus didn't say sit around and pray for souls to get saved. Jesus' response to the lost was pray that there would be laborers in the harvest. Pray that somebody go do something. Amen. I quit praying for my lost son. We have four children, and three of them are serving the Lord and one's not. And I quit praying for him to get saved. I said, "Pastor Dan, are you serious?" "Yes, I'm serious." I started praying that somebody would go minister to him. You know, yeah, somebody bring him the word, bring him a revelation, set him free. And I'll just tell you this. Somebody else is counting on you, because their lost mother or father or son or daughter is going to cross your path, and they're praying that you'll be a laborer in the harvest and that you'll do your part. And I believe that if we do our part, somebody's going to do their part, and my son's going to receive the salvation of the Lord. You've got to do your part. The next thing is well done in quotation marks. Because that's what we want to hear, right? We want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the kingdom." But you know what? You'll never hear "well done" unless you've done something. Right? You know? I mean, if you went through life and never did anything for Christ, it would be like, "Well." Am I right? I don't want to get to heaven and hear "well." I want to hear "well done." So I want to do something for him. Amen. All right. And then let's see the last thing. We are examples to the next generation. Your 20 somethings and 30 somethings and your grandchildren and your children, they're watching you to see what you believe and about God and how you live your life. And so what type of example are we setting? So let me just I'm going to speak, but I want to give you a testimony, and I'm going to condense the testimony, okay? Cuz you're probably not interested in my long boring life. All right? It was 1 year ago yesterday. 1 year ago yesterday, Franklin Graham came to Cheyenne because he was hitting all 50 capitals, and he came and we set up a deal. And I'm standing in the midst of the crowd at Franklin Graham's meeting, and one of my board members comes up, and we currently have a church. We have 7 acres. We got a building, seats about 250. We have a gymnasium, have some rental property on our property. And you know, we got a pretty good gig going on. As a matter of fact, in 1964, when my dad was stationed at Fort Warren, he went to it was then called Harvest Time Tabernacle, and he gave his heart to the Lord in the same church that he came back to pastor years later. And in 2000, when he passed away, I'm just the third pastor of our church in 53 years. We have a daycare center. It runs about 60 kids. And so we're standing in this Franklin Graham meeting, and one of my board members walks up, and he shows me on his phone where he found on Craigslist some free playground equipment that we could really use for our child care center. So we emailed the guy right away and said, we're going to come and look at it. We're very interested. And we go over to this building on the north side of town, and playground equipment is there, and we're looking at it, and we want it. We know it's going to be a job to get it. You've got to dig it out of the concrete and all that stuff. But in the process, I asked him, what are you doing with this building? And he said, I want to sell it. I said, well, you got to give me the tour. 12,000 square feet of building that is just a blank slate waiting for somebody to do something with it. And as he's given us the tour, I remember finishing the tour, and I told Pastor Kevin this yesterday. I said, when we finished the tour, I said, Doug, I said, I have to leave before I covet your building. I went home that night. I didn't sleep a whole lot. Something was just stirring inside of me. Our church congregation is getting a bit on the older side, and our church is very traditional. We got pews, and you know, it's just a very traditional church, and something's stirring on the inside of me. And I woke up in the morning, and I called the board members, and I said, we need to go back and revisit that building. And so we called my nephew, who's a realtor. I said, Stephen, get me in there. And he got me in there, and we toured it again with the board members, and we ended up in what is now the children's church room, and we prayed. And this is how we prayed. I said, Father, this is a really cool building. And if it's your will, we would like to have it. And if it's not, we'll be happy where we are, but we really want it. We really want it. There was a Vineyard church in Cheyenne. They didn't have a building, so I called Pastor Jay. I know him pretty well, and I said, Pastor Jay, I said, why don't you come look at our property and consider buying it? He said, that's a great idea. He came over and looked at it. I took his board members to lunch, had a great meeting. I thought, man, this is really going to go well. And the board members were just all on board. That was on Friday. On Saturday morning, they were all off board. They all jumped ship. He called me Saturday morning and said, Pastor Danny said, I think it's too big of a deal for us to go into right now. So I waited that weekend. I called my nephew again on Monday, and I said, Stephen, I said, let's just list our property and see what happens. And so he listed it on Friday. On the following Monday, Pastor Tommy from Faith Baptist Church shows up at the church, takes the tour, loves the building, and we go through a process of about 20 days of negotiation, and it was amazing. A property that we owned for 53 years that my father gave his heart to the Lord in, that people had gone to church there for longer than I had been there, we just sold it. Scary. I wasn't sure how many people would follow us to the new building. I wasn't sure if they were going to take me out and lynch me out back. I wasn't sure what was going on, but it was a very, very intense time in my life, and I needed to know that I was doing the right thing. So we negotiated a price, and I'm not ashamed to talk numbers. We negotiated on $970,000, and that was the price we decided to sell to them. But they owned a little building over on the north central side of town. He said, Pastor, he said, I want to sell this building before I buy yours. And I said, listen, I don't want to lose the building that I want to buy to another offer. So I gave him 2 weeks. 2 weeks, he listed the property, never had anybody look at it. He came back to me and he said, I don't know what to do. Well, prior to that 2 weeks, this is what I told him. I said, give me $670,000 and your building. I'll sell your building, and anything over $300,000, I'll give it right back to you. It was a no-brainer, right? I get my 970. He gets anything that we get out of the old. He said, no, I just want to sell it myself. 2 weeks passes by. He says, I couldn't sell it. He comes back to me. I said, that's fine. I said, give me 670 and your building, but anything that I sell it for, we're going to keep. And he said, okay. It was on a Friday. Signed all the paperwork earlier that week for the sale of our property. Now I own $670,000 in a little church building that seats about 50 people. And I called my nephew and I said, Stephen, list that property. He listed it on Friday. I'm not telling you stories. He listed it on a Friday. On Monday, I had a cash offer of, come on now, $365,000. I made $65,000 in two. God gave us $65,000 in 2 weeks. I got something was just stirring. You know, you just got to feel like you're going the right way. You know, a lady comes to me in the church and she said, Pastor, my husband and I, we own 10 acres of land out west of town. We've been trying to sell it for 5 years. We've never even got an offer on it. She said, God told me that if I would give it to the church, it would sell immediately. I said, well, you probably ought to give it to the church. So we went down and I signed. It was like on a Tuesday or something. And I called my nephew and I said, Stephen, list that property. And he listed that property and I got an offer on a Friday. I listed it for $26,000 for 10 acres in Wyoming, and I listed it for $26,000, and the offer came in at $22,500, and I'm like, oh, that's just so low, but, you know, I mean, it's $22,000 I didn't have a week ago, and I need it for the renovation of this new building, and so I said, Stephen, let's counter. And sent the counter in on Friday at $23,500. I just tried to get another $1,000 out of them. The realtor for the prospective buyer went out for drinks that night and forgot to give the counter offer to the prospective buyer. And on Saturday, we got another offer. So on Sunday, Stephen calls both of them. And he says, just give us the best price. Whoever gives us the best price gets the property. On Monday, I get an offer. I listed it for $26,000. I got an offer for $27,000. God is so good. You just sometimes you just need to know you're going the right way, you know? So I also drive a school bus, and I'm sitting in the break room at the bus garage, and we're sitting in these nice plastic chairs. I don't know if anybody, if you're furniture connoisseurs or not, but these chairs are Herman Miller chairs. Herman Miller's, they're a nice brand, right? Right? And these chairs are really nice. So I got online. I said, this would be great for our new church, not in the sanctuary, but in the multipurpose room. So I Google them and they're like $100 a piece. I'm thinking, well, our metal chairs are looking pretty good right now. I said, I only need about 70 of these. You know, well, that's $7,000. I'm not lying to you. My son, who's preaching this morning, is with the Day of Giving, and Walmart called the Day of Giving and said, Justin, we closed down a distribution center, and we want you to come, and if there's anything that you want in this trailer, just come and take it. So Justin and Jared, my other son, they're twins, and myself, we went to the big Walmart distribution center, and down door number 17 or whatever it was. He lifts the door up, and there's a trailer out there. He lifts the trailer up, and when he lifts the trailer up, there are 70 black Herman Miller chairs in the back of that trailer. To which I said, in a matter of 2 seconds, we'll take all the chairs. You know, sometimes you just got to feel like you're in the right path, right? All right. Who's our ushers today? I did a handout for my sermon, and if you'd like to follow along, you can. This is Bill, right?
Yeah.
I was close. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has already prepared for those who love Him. He's already prepared it. God's got this preparation for all of us. It's all laid out. We won't get into predestination and all that stuff tonight. I'll just tell you this, that God created you with a huge purpose in mind. And eye has not seen it, nor has ears even heard about it, nor, I like the thinker, has it even been comprehended in our minds what God wants to do. That's how big it is. Isn't it Jeremiah it's Isaiah that God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts? And you say, well, how much higher are your thoughts than my thoughts? To which God says, as far as the heaven is from the earth, that's how much bigger I'm thinking about you than you're thinking about yourself. I love the lesson on faith, and I'm going to take you to an interesting passage that isn't going to look like a faith passage until we're done. But you'll see on your handout sheet, 1 Samuel chapter 14. And I'm just going to read it, and then we'll talk about it, and then we'll close. Amen? That's the agenda. Read it, talk about it, close. Okay? The time span of read it, talk about it, and close is still up for debate. 1 Samuel 14, verse 6. So here's what happens. Israel is encamped in front of a huge canyon. And the enemy is on the top of the canyon. So when Israel were to go through the canyon, they would get bombarded. So Saul has, you know, he's camped the army. Let's think about this. And so Jonathan, Saul's son, and his armor bearer, they slip out of camp. And this is that story. I love this story. Verse 6. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." So his armor bearer said to him, "You're crazy." No, that's not what I'm sorry. That was my version. So his armor bearer said, "Do all that's in your heart. Go then, here am I with you according to your heart." And then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up to them, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us." So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes that they've been hidden." And then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer, and they said, "What? Come up to us, and we'll show you something." And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, he said, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. I want to make a few things about faith, and then I want to encourage you. In our regional conference years ago, it was at Sister Dolores Hendricks' church. Bishop Holcomb from the Houston area came up, and he was our guest speaker, and he spoke on faith. Probably the greatest message I've ever heard on faith. And he used faith as an acronym, the letters faith as an acronym, and it comes up like this: forward action in trusting Him. That's I'm not preaching his sermon today. I'm just giving you what he said. Then I'll go back to my own sermon. This I've lived my life by this ever since I've heard that acronym for faith. I've listened to other acronyms for faith, and none of them do this. Faith is not something you have. Faith is something you do. That's huge. That's huge. So let's just talk a little bit about this passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel. Number one, faith is used in difficult times. Faith is used in difficult times. When nothing's going on and nothing's going wrong, it doesn't require faith. When nothing's going on and nothing's going wrong, that doesn't require faith. Right? That's easy street. Right? There's no faith required to live on easy street. As people of faith, we ought to take an inventory of exactly what we're believing for. Because we have homes and food and cars and jobs. Because we have those things, I'm not believing for them. Understand? Yeah. I don't need to know where my next meal is coming from. It's coming from the pastor's house. And it's going to be splendid. I need not sit up here and pray that God would provide a meal this afternoon. It's already provided. So what's interesting is faith has to be doing something. I wonder if you would dare to take an inventory of your life and see what faith irons are actually in the fire. What are you? I mean, if we are people of faith living by faith, what exactly are you living by faith for? What's the outcome? What's the result? What are we doing with it? The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, you can quote this, "For surely I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says." The thing that we know, oh, I wrote this down for some of us old timers, and I don't know how long you've been in the church, but this will definitely let us know. Andre Crouch used to sing a song that says, "If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them." My boys hate when I sing and I preach. They're like, "Dad, stop that." There's the worship guy and then there's the preaching guy. You're the preaching guy. If you never had a problem, you wouldn't know that God could solve them. The interesting thing about Mark 23 is it says, whoever says to the mountain, that there's got to be a difficult thing. There's got to be something that is impassable. Something that seems impossible, and then faith comes alive. And you know how it comes alive, right? I'm sure you've already been through this. It comes by hearing the Word of God, right? So when you speak to the mountain, you don't say, "I sure wish you'd move." Right? You speak, "Thus saith the Lord, be thou removed and cast into the sea." Right? So if you're speaking faith about healing, you need to have healing scriptures. If you're speaking faith about deliverance, you can't just tell the mountain to run. You got to tell it with what authority it should run. And the only authority with which a mountain should run is the authority of the one who created all things. Amen? Number two, faith is used out there. It would not accomplish much for 600 military men. That's how many were in this Saul's garrison. 600 military men to sit around and believe the enemy would be defeated. Are you still believing? I'm still believing. I'm still believing. I'm still believing. But they're not doing anything. They're just sitting around believing. Now, I'm not taking away from enduring faith. I'm not taking away from holding fast to your confession. Those things are true. But what I am saying is the ones who acted in faith were not the ones who were sitting in the camp. The ones who acted in faith were the ones who were out amongst the enemy. The two, Jonathan and his armor bearer. We had a guest speaker come to Cheyenne one time as a combination of several churches. I don't know if you know him, Pastor Kevin. His name is Robbie Dawkins. He's from the Chicago area. He looks like a bodybuilder. He's got weird hair and tattoos and earrings and a great ministry. But his ministry is all about this. Robbie Dawkins taught us that the reason that there are not many miracles being seen in the church today is because it's in the church where we expect them to happen. Whoo! You know, you want to get saved? Come to church Sunday. You want to get healed? Come to church Sunday. Listen, for me and for our congregation, I pray for people, and I think that they ought to, you know, get healed and well in church, and you know, but what I have quit doing, I quit looking at the church as being the hospital. Church isn't the hospital. Man, when we come together, the church is a celebration. It's a woo-haw. Man, I'm from Wyoming, and that didn't even sound good. The church is a celebration of people coming together because of all the things that have happened out there in the week. I prayed for somebody at Walmart. Do you guys have Walmart? I always use Walmart. I prayed for somebody at Walmart. Well, Walmart, when you're going to Walmart, that's like Jonathan climbing the hill. Not because of any experiences. This is just a picture. That's like climbing the hill. And when you get on top of the hill, then you're in Walmart and you pass by somebody and you see a mother struggling, you know, trying to keep her kids, or you see somebody who's fighting over here, or you see a clerk who hates her job. There's where the faith needs to be activated. Those people are hurting. They need something. They need you. They need me. I like this passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel 14:6. It's on your sheet. This was the sales pitch for Jonathan to get his armor bearer to go. He said, look, there's two of us and a whole bunch of Philistines. And here's what he says. He says, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Might just be God will do something. The armor bearer's like, man, am I bearing the wrong armor, right? He's not even sure what's going to happen. He's just saying, let's just go over and see if something does happen. And the armor bearer's probably thinking, well, I know that there's two things that can happen. You could die and I could die. Right? That's the sales pitch that was given. But when you're on your road to Walmart, maybe something's stirring on, or you're going to lunch this afternoon, or you're going, you know, you're going to your son or daughter's house for dinner and they're not serving the Lord. While you're going there, this theme ought to be stirring inside of us. Maybe God's going to do something. Maybe God's going to do something. We have a Down syndrome daughter. She's 38 years old now, and when she was born, you know, it was right in the midst of the big faith era, you know, Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin and all those guys, and I really sensed God was going to heal her. And 38 years later, you know what? I still have a sense that God's going to heal her. I got a sense. This might be the day. I remember there was one lady in the church. She came to me. She said, Pastor Dan, she said, I cannot miss a service. I said, cool. She said, oh, no, not because of you or anything else. I cannot miss a service because that might be the service Rachel gets healed. And I ain't missing it. Churning on the inside. His great purpose that we talked about in our first verse, it's churning on the inside of us that God is going to do something. Let's just go see. Maybe it's today. And that was the sales pitch for Jonathan's armor bearer. Nowadays, when I go and somebody has a problem, and you know what we used to do, what I used to do is, you know, I'll pray for you. Sure, I'll pray for you. I'll put you on the prayer list at the church. We'll pray for you. Goodbye. I don't do that anymore. Number two reasons. Number one is I forget. And number two is it's not very powerful. What's powerful is when somebody's in Walmart and they're telling you their problem and their circumstance and their situation is to reach your hand out and say, can I pray for you? Right here in Walmart, can I pray? And then what happens? That churning on the inside of you, feel like something's going to happen. I'm convinced, listen, I'm convinced that miracles are dull in the church, and here's why. They're dull in the church because we have so many religious ideas as to why people can't get healed. Well, maybe you don't have enough faith. Well, maybe I don't have enough faith. Well, maybe God's trying to teach you something. We've accumulated all of these ideas, and why there's no instantaneous healing, we would rather have an instantaneous revelation as to why they didn't get healed. But when you go to Walmart, you got one shot. You got one chance. You'll never get to pray with that person again, most likely. Then you better have it and make it happen, right? Number three, watch for victory signs. I'm going to move quickly because I like the last one better than these. Watch for victory signs. Watch for victory signs. Here, Jonathan said this. Listen, when we get to the top of the hill, if they say, if they come to us, there's a problem. But when we get to the top of the hill and they say, come to us, then we'll know God's going to do something. And so they climb to the top of the hill. They show themselves to the uncircumcised Philistines, and the Philistines say, well, come on over here. Jonathan nudges the armor bearer and says, victory signs. There are victory signs. God is going to make this happen. All along the road of our new facility, there were victory signs because I'll tell you what, it was difficult to sell to a congregation who had been in there for 53 years to uproot and sell everything that they've worked for and labored for. We built the building by our own hands. We did it all. We put time into that building, the old building, and to get them on board to do something was scary. It was difficult. But those little victory signs of 300,000 turn into 365,000 and 26,000 turn into 27,000. And God's so concerned about me sitting in a black Herman Miller chair that he just opens up the door and gives us 70 of them. There are little victory signs along the way. And my sister, we grew up in that church. I have one brother and two sisters, and all of us were married in that church. Dad did all of our ceremony. We dedicated all of our children in that church. And somebody comes up and says, Pastor Dan, do you miss the old church? Not one second. Not one second. Because I'm not looking in my rearview mirror on this deal. I know it was there and it was a great history. And I've got history on the wall at the church. I've got some, you know, pictures and those things. That's where we was. That's where we was. But here's where we is right now. That's where I want to be, right? I want to be where God is, not where He was. Woo, that preaches. Number four, faith is by no means easy. It's not easy. Holding on to your confession of faith is not easy. And the enemy is the enemy because he's the enemy. Right? He's after anything that you want good. Anything that you want good, he's the enemy. And he's brutal. In Genesis chapter 15, Abraham was told to lay out some sacrifices before the Lord. And And for some reason, God delayed in consuming those sacrifices. And while those sacrifices are laid out, open flesh of animals is laid out, the vultures start coming. You know? And Abraham's like, no, this is God's sacrifice. This isn't for you, vulture. And he started waving the vultures off. And he fought the vultures off until the sacrifice was consumed by God. That's holding on to the confession of your faith. Fight them vultures off. All of those dream crushers, fight them off. Amen? All of those people who say, you know what? You need to go through that sickness because God wants you to learn something. If God wants me to learn something, give me a book. Not a cane, right? Hallelujah. I love this passage of Scripture in Galatians 6:9. Is that on your sheet? Let's not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. If we don't lose heart, if we don't give up. All right, number 5. This is the fun one. The armor bearer is with you. I had a fourth watch revelation Thursday for you. And it was about this armor bearer. The armor bearer said to Jonathan, go, here I am with you, according to your heart. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 16, and I will pray and he will give you another helper that he might abide for you forever. Let me clue you here. That helper is not your spouse. You know, God give you a good spouse. But the helper he's going to give you is the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we're all in agreement there. I noticed the resemblance between Jonathan's armor bearer and the Holy Spirit. I know that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, it talks about the armor of God. Does everybody know that passage? Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. Okay, so you know all that? It's interesting to me. How many of you have the armor of God? It's interesting to me that I don't see it on any of you who raised your hands. Why? Because it's spiritual. It's given by the Spirit. The breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation is carried around by your armor bearer, who is the Holy Spirit. And in times of battle, he will equip you. All right, I'm almost done. The fun part's still coming. My congregation is convinced that the fun part is the closing. Samuel 14:13. Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees and the armor bearer after him. Isn't that an interesting picture? I think that's interesting because Jonathan's like, you know, he's like in a robe, maybe some leather or whatever, and he's scaling the side of this mountain, that mountain, to get to the top, and the armor bearer is right behind him, bearing the armor. Right? Jonathan's like, come on, dude. And the armor bearer, I can hear him in the back, clang, 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 clang. As he's going up the mountain, right? Right? And sometimes we just go crying to the Holy Spirit. It's so tough. This is such a tough life. And our armor bearer saying, man, I'm right behind you, but I'm carrying 150 pounds of armor. You think you got it tough? One of God's promises is that God will always go before us. And then the backside of that scripture, he will also be our rear guard. Wow, God's before us and he's behind us. What do we need to worry about? So here's your fourth watch revelation. 3:14 Thursday morning. I went on a ramp on a rabbit trail. Went on like I'm doing now. I went on a rabbit trail. On Facebook, when I was preaching, I'm not very good at preaching on Facebook yet because on Facebook you got to stay on point. And I was talking about this fourth watch, this 3 o'clock in the morning thing, Anybody else get waking up at 3 in the morning? Yeah. I used to say it was annoying. But it's God. and if God wants to talk to me, how annoyed can I be? I can't, right? All right? I mean, He created all things and He wants to talk to me. That's huge. But on this rabbit trail, I was wondering if I could change my time zone with God and let Him know that I was Eastern time. Can we change this meeting to 5 a.m.? Here it is. This is what I came to tell you today. Walking in faith is not walking blind. Now, I know that the Bible says that we don't walk by, that we walk by faith, not by sight, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. But walking by faith is not blind walking. Sometimes we don't get the whole picture of what the outcome is going to be, but we keep on in faith, right? So here's what I want to tell you. That whenever you can't see, your other senses become stronger. Oh, hang on now. This is super cool. This is a 3 o'clock in the morning. Listen, even if you don't like what I'm about to say, just appease me. It's when you are walking in faith and you cannot see the total outcome that your hearing becomes sharper. Wow. Listen, did we hear that this morning? Did we hear that God wants us to listen up? That God wants us to hear? You know, the reason that we don't need to hear from God is because we can see everything that we want to see. Everything's okay. In my scope of things, everything is okay. But outside my scope of things is when I really need to hear. That means close the Facebook page at my church. They shut it off. It's interesting to me that listed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the giftings of the Holy Spirit is faith. Is that not interesting to you? We all have faith. But the Holy Spirit, clank, 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 He's following you, clank, 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 with this armor, clank, 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 He's following you. And when you need it the most, not this faith to get saved, but this spiritual gifting of faith will come upon you in the most difficult time. The Holy Spirit will equip you to overcome and be an overcomer in the battle that's set before you. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. Oh. Is it just possible, and I know that we've all talked about this passage of Scripture and what it might mean over and over and over again, but when it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, is it just possible that we grieve the Holy Spirit by not allowing Him to unload some of His stuff on us? He's like, seriously, you're going to make me carry this another year? Really? I could give you this gifting of faith right now, and we could get this mountain to be thou removed and cast into the sea right now, here, today. This can happen, or you can make me carry this around for another year. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The faith that's needed for the 21st century is the gifting of faith. Not the hanging on to salvation faith. It's the gifting of faith that says, I'm going to go out into a difficult place, into a difficult circumstance, or I'm going to go to the doctor's office and the doctor's going to bring me a report that's going to require me to stand up with the armor of God and the gifting of faith and the Holy Spirit, and we're going to work together. And the more that I advance, the beauty of it is the more that I advance, the Bible said about Jonathan's armor bearer, is that as Jonathan advanced, the armor bearer killed everybody. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? It's like you don't even have to fight. All you got to do is show up. If you show up, the Holy Spirit will do His thing. Amen? And He's longing to do His thing. So I didn't ask Pastor Kevin how to close. I have a couple of options. We can have an altar call and pray for you. And that could be a closing, or I could just go sit down and that could be a closing, or I could just keep talking for a while, not close at all. And we're going to take a vote right now. No. I want to pray over you, and then Pastor Kevin will come and close the service. But I want to pray over you that you would be stirred up today. That you would be stirred up today. Listen, and I know Pastor Kevin's heart and Pastor Sherry's heart well enough that I can make this statement. Is you know what? If this is the capacity of Grace Christian Center for the next 10 years, it's okay as long as we are doing something. As long as we're affecting our community. As long as our lost loved ones are getting saved. And listen, the God will take care of the congregation. Don't worry about that. The beautiful thing is when Pastor Kevin and Sherry get to heaven, is this going to be the response? God, I gave my life into what you gave me, and we were successful. Success is not pulling off a good church service. Success is making an impact on those who are around you. And not only that, but if you ever get to Loveland, Colorado, I'm counting on you that if you run across my son, get the faith. Get it out. Beat him over the head with it. And bring him to church. And if I run across yours, I'll do the same thing. I'll do the same. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Isn't there a passage of Scripture that says that we should make the most of every opportunity given to us? Every opportunity. So I'll pray and close, and then we'll go from there. Father, I thank you for being so loving to us and so good to us. I thank you for a church that's stirring in the gifts. I thank you, Lord, that this water is not stagnant, but there is a stirring happening here. I thank you, God, that this is a group of people who want to make a difference, who want to make an impact on their surroundings. And so right now, I pray, Father, as Pastor Kevin continues to minister about this faith needed for the 21st century, Lord, I pray that it would actually produce in us life and boldness and strength. And cause us, Lord, to make a difference in every surrounding that we have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm preaching next week, if you want to come, on Who's Your Neighbor? But it's in Cheyenne.
So we're taking plane reservations today.
Can I just tell you this? That your neighbor is whoever's near you.
That's it.
Doesn't matter where you live. Matters where you are and how we can have an impact on those who are around us in Christ. Amen?
Excellent message, brother. God bless you. Stay on up, Dan. Stay. Pastor Dan, come on up and stay with us. Pastor Sherry, come on up. I really believe that there are some of you here that you have this activated dream or this desire, this vision God has given you for what your next steps are, how you can reach out, how you can do exactly as Pastor Dan has said. Some of you have burning in your spirit the next steps, but maybe there's simply been a longing or discouragement, something you're not able to just quite get there. But what the Lord does when He brings together the ministry like this is there is an ability to have you come up and receive prayer and to see this faith activated for the 21st century, for today. An activated faith where God's people go and do what God has called us to do. How many have something burning in your heart just beyond what you're walking in right now? Then I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And I'm going to ask some of you who have it in your heart to be activated in that next step to come on up. And we're going to take some time and pray. And Roxanne, if you want to put on that piano music in the background, if you're a guest with us today, we're delighted and thrilled that you're here with us. We'll be back here next Sunday morning, and we're going to be talking about vision and what it's all about as we continue in launching your faith. But this morning has been a divine intersection in the Lord for us as a congregation and for you as believers. And we are glad that you're here with us. So stand to your feet, if you will, if you've got that thing burning in your soul. And let's pray. Let's believe God. I'm going to pray for you first of all, and then come on forward. We're going to pray with you. Father, we thank you that you're the God who does all things well. Lord, you're the God who's made us believers, not just in word only, but indeed, believers who move forward into life, who have faith not just as a noun, but as a verb. Faith that moves forward to change lives. And we believe you, Lord, that that's what you've called us to. And today, we pray your blessing on your people who have heard the word. And as we go from this place, we enter the mission field to do exactly what you've called us to do. Pastor Kelly, would you come on over and join us as well? Father, we thank you for Pastor Dan and Kelly. We pray that travel mercies are their portion as they travel back home. But we thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness in bringing the deposit of God to us today to launch us forward into more activated faith.
Thank you, Jesus.
We trust you for it and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if God's speaking to your heart, there's something you want to see the Lord do, I ask you to come on up and we'll pray for you. Come on. Come on, church. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We trust you.